Welcome to the evening Dharma talk. It's not on. Oh, one day I'll get all the technology right. Okay. Oh, can you all hear now? So welcome to the evening Dharma talk. The theme this evening is the absence of hatred, or, in other words, the theme is love, or, in the language of the Buddha, the theme is metta. So metta is essentially the absence of ill will, the absence of hatred and negativity. Metta doesn't mean that we have to be gushing with love, overflowing with friendliness. It doesn't mean that exactly. Sometimes that is the expression of love from some people. But metta, as it was used by the Buddha, is selfless love. The love that's directed towards the benefit of others. The word itself actually means the loving one, or the one who is loving. And it's usually translated in English really badly as loving kindness, which even to those of us who speak English as a first language is very awkward. It doesn't really kind of match up. So in my talk this evening, I'm going to endeavor to explain my understanding of it. So the word metta has its origins, apparently, according to a friend of mine who's a Pali scholar, in words that are associated with plumpness or generosity. So hence, in the Chinese Buddhist tradition, there's all those wonderful Buddhas with the really big bellies. So this symbolizes generosity or plumpness. And metta, or abundance, or fullness. And it also has ancient associations, apparently, with the word friendship. So as I speak, I'll refer a little bit to the text and also illustrate the understanding of those texts with some stories. It's my preferred method of teaching, as you might have gathered already this evening. So the Buddha was asked by a Brahmin man in India, "How can I dwell with the gods?" So using the language the Buddha knew the man would understand, the Buddha, responding to his longing for freedom, rather than arguing with him about whether God existed or did not, or his use of the word God, suggested that he cultivate the four immeasurable minds. So earlier tonight I was referring to the mind that is immeasurable, the mind that is limitless. And so the Buddha spoke about the four different aspects. Some of you will be familiar with this and others not, so bear with me. And the four immeasurables, or four immeasurable minds, are also called the divine abodes, or literally the home of the gods. And these are metta, which is love, karuna, compassion, mudita, which is joy, or appreciative joy, joy in the delight of another, and upekkha, which is equanimity. So they're the four different aspects of the immeasurable mind. So our practice of metta, is to recognize that which is immeasurable, not bound anywhere, not bound or dependent upon the particular conditions we find ourselves in our life. Vihara, of course, is home. And so these four, love, compassion, joy, and equanimity, are often called the Brahma Viharas. And they are both the expression of our awakened heart-mind and to be cultivated in order to awaken. So there are many different ways of waking up. And one of them is actually to cultivate the mind that is immeasurable. What I love about the Buddha's teachings is there's something for everybody. There's something for every different type of temperament. There's quite, what shall I say? There's practices that require incredible discipline. There's practices that benefit those who have the mind that can concentrate very well. If you're not that kind of person, there's other kinds of practices, such as the practice of compassion. But all the paths awaken and transform and free the life. And if it liberates consciousness, then it's useful. So you might like to ask, what is your true home? What is your divine abode? The home that can't be bought or sold, the home that's priceless. So this immeasurable mind of metta is actually revealed when the self falls away. Liberation is not personal. It's not the I, the me, that wakes up. Rather, the liberation and the freedom and the awakening is seen with the cessation of the I. When the I deconstructs, when the I is not in the forefront of consciousness, our freedom is revealed. So when we give up clinging to this sense of who we are, who we think we are, who we ought to be, and look with fresh eyes, with a fresh response, there's a reality that can be revealed, which is broad and huge and vast. So I have a poem by one of the great poets, one of the great mystics of India, Kabir. And he said the following. He said, "The jewel is lost in the mud, and all are seeking for it. Some look for it in the east, and some in the west, and some in the water, and some amongst stones. But the servant Kabir has appraised it at its true value and has wrapped it with care in the end of the mantle of his heart." So what is it that you are seeking? What has touched you to bring you here on this journey? Some of you might be thinking, well, how do I live with non-hatred? How do I touch that immeasurable vastness that's being spoken about, that illuminates and frees? Well, it's fairly simple. We begin by being receptive. We just begin by cultivating an openness. And that openness needs to filter through everything we do in the next few days. So an openness perhaps to what's being said. You might notice a contraction of the very title of this talk. Check it out. See what's happening. See if you can loosen any judgment. Look at how you tend to criticize yourself. That may not be a tendency of yours, but for many people it is. Loosen around the judgments. Soften around those self-criticisms. The I'm not good enough and I can't do this. And so on. So I'm inviting you to have a particular attitude to the practice. Now, the Buddha didn't actually offer a method for the cultivation of the practice. And the very popular loving kindness meditations that some of you might have experienced were developed about 1,000 years or so after the Buddha's death. And those practices are found in a text called the Visuddhimagga.